Hello, Margaret.
Are you there? Wonderful.
I'm sorry.
Hello.
Yes, I'm here.
We're on air, actually, Rose, so welcome. Welcome to the show. I've got Rose Lovelock on the line from the Aboriginal Cultural Centre in Keeping Place. Morning, Rose. How are you going?
I'm just about as busy as anything.
I know. You guys are just... I was saying to the listeners before, it sort of looks quite serene on the surface, but underneath the feet, the ducks are paddling madly, aren't they?
Oh, they surely are.
And I'm so pleased we managed to get through. We are having some dramas with our computer that's attached to the console that sends our voices out into the world. So we'll just hope it we hold on there. Now, Rose, I just had the most beautiful night on Friday night, and it was the opening of a new exhibition that you've got down there at the Keeping
that's
Place.
Correct.
Mm.
Yes. The artist is Teresa Chatfield.
Right.
She's termed herself a disabled artist, originally from Moree.
Yeah, she's Kamilaroi.
Yes. She moved to Tamworth 16 years ago due to her medical condition and started painting again 9 months ago. Help relieve chronic pain.
Yeah. Well,
she did it so beautifully. She spoke so wonderfully about her interests and the artwork that she does do.
I was absolutely enchanted. I mean, she was, such a sort of quiet, I don't want to talk sort of person, and then I don't have nothing, anything to say, just look at the pictures, and then when she's got going, it was amazing. Yeah,
it was wonderful.
Mm.
And we're actually trialing the circle approach, so that our artists don't feel intimidated to look back into the audience and that. It seems to be working really well. Our artists generally like that yarning conversation of way of doing business.
Well, it was really lovely. We had a little smoking ceremony to start all. Yeah. Everybody was, because of the coolness of the evening, everybody was inside and then popped outside for the welcome to the acknowledgement of country. And then a really nice, cosy sort of just walking through the smoke that I think one of your resident artists, Tyler, organised.
Yes.
A swatch of very wet gum leaves. And then Teresa suffers from a condition that's unpronounceable, but it's a muscular problem which impacts her muscles and gives her a lot of pain. And she was saying she paints as a form of therapy to sort of distract her from the sensation of the pain. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm.
But she's certainly shown up to be of quite a high standard of artwork.
Yes.
It produces. It's lovely.
Well, you know what I found beautiful was on that sort of talking to the artist, Teresa was there with her niece, sitting on the couch and talking about the different paintings and how they related to basically being the experience of being a First Nations person and the kind of life. And I found that really fascinating. Did you want to explain to our listeners a bit about that, Rose?
As you probably are aware, policy hasn't been very favourable to us for quite a while. I think in her beautiful, gentle way, she explained how that affected her and her family very directly.
Yeah.
And I thought that she did it with such poise and grace.
She really, really did. And also, as is always the case, when you sit down and have a bit of a yarn, there was a fair bit of laughter too, wasn't there, about...
Yeah.
And a bit of discussion about favourite bush tucker as well.
That's great.
How do you cook kangaroo? Teresa was saying she finds it too tough, and the boys were saying, no, it's beautiful.
Yeah, I heard that discussion going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all a matter of the cooking ability. And I think with how they were explaining it there, they were saying that kangaroo mince is a much easier solution to cooking that kind of skin. I thought it was appropriate.
Oh, it was a bit of fun, but basically Teresa's paintings depict things from, well, a lot, sometimes they're ideas, but some of them, and it was a really striking picture there of fish, you know, on the Mihai River, and that was sort of reflective of fishing trips, I guess, that fishing trips on as a child and a young woman with the family, always with the family, to the Mihai River, which is part of that traditional country, I believe, Ramore.
Yes, that's true. And you mostly find that a lot of the work will generate around, artwork generates around with a lot of Aboriginal people to their family engagement and community engagement and what is considered to be, delivers that form of solidarity and although unity and diversity, it respects both.
Yes, yeah.
And I think she made quite a point about, you know, her paintings reflecting her heritage and her culture and her family, and it kind of showcases the diversity that all artists have in their particular communities.
Yeah, well, I found it amazing, and actually it was very interesting to learn about this, about the way that contemporary First Nations or Aboriginal artists actually draw from a lot of different traditions within the within Aboriginal culture, so that you know, some there were influences from many, many different sort of genres of Indigenous art in this exhibition, which is why I think people should go and have a really good look, because they can learn a lot about modern Indigenous art, if you like.
Absolutely.
And also, one of the things that I don't want to do the interview though. what struck me, and my husband said he just loved the colours, and he said, you know, that they made him feel, the paintings made him feel good, because they're vibrant colours. I mean, some were quite sombre, but not all.
Not at all. The vibrancy of the exhibition shows out greatly, you know, at any time that you're visiting the centre. But more importantly, each piece reflects something that is along their family line. She talked about giving away a lot of art to her family, and that's not uncommon. That's quite common. A lot of the artists satisfy their families, and then what's left over comes to exhibitions and that.
Yeah.
And it's really nice to see the level of, I guess, sophistication within the art world amongst most of the artists that we've had the privilege to meet here at the centre.
I was actually moved to tears, to be honest, with the previous exhibition you had, but that's now finished, which was completely different. But that was a photographic exhibition of the way in which. You can talk a bit to that, Rose. Still very pertinent.
That was made up of by a young Aboriginal student at university doing a PhD, and her work was to get back out onto country with her community and utilise the idea of conservation within the environment after the 2019 fires. And the amount of passion and everything else was captured in the photos. It was a self-guided tour.
Yeah.
Which really answers a lot of questions in terms of utilising our communities to do some of this hard work in making sure we've got, you know, clean energy happening around us.
Mm.
But we've also got the ability to lay some really good foundational work into looking after the land, the water and the trees around us.
Yes.
And that one showed it very clearly. There were many who walked out of that sort of teary-eyed.
Is that right? Because that was it was just, I was really shocked at myself, but underlying that was the emotion that goes with what happens when you suffer, well, a trauma in your life that absolutely shifts everything, and initially in a negative way. And so in some senses the bushfire and the country, that the beloved country and landscape, is suddenly severely scarred and changed.
Yeah.
And how does a community deal with that? You know,
it's very hard. Mm. It's very hard to walk back out there and not see what we would most often see, which is, you know, it's gone. But to walk back out there and check for even caterpillars in trees or new nests being built in old wood, and it's just that, you know, the nature, along with a little bit of help from us, could replenish and regrow pretty quickly. You know, I'm no archaeologist or
no, I don't know about that. Yeah,
I just believe that we have story solutions to a lot of what we're facing today. We're trying to promote as much as we can through education how to maintain living with the environment. I think we've got a lot to offer in that respect.
I think that, as speaking as a non-Indigenous person, I mean, the opportunity that you get going down to the Keeping Place, if you sit down and then stand up and walk around and actually talk to the artists who are there to get some understanding of, you know, you can just walk and look, and that's always free, but there's a special opportunity there, I think, to kind of enter into that connection with landscape. I mean, we all live here.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'm doing a plug here for people who are not necessarily Aboriginal to go down there and just partake, if you like, in some of the mysteriousness of what it is to be a person whose ancestors and you know, have been on this continent, in this landscape, for, you know, millions of years. There's something quite magical happening there. But speaking of that, you've got lots of magical little people running around there today, have you, Rose?
Yes, we have. Well, our holiday program's up and running, we've got some little people in here doing some artwork today and playing some games.
Oh, it's fantastic, yeah. And of course, your artist in residence, who I was expecting here a bit earlier, but in fact they're busy teaching the next generation. So I think
that is true. That is very true.
Yeah.
He's actually got an art class running all day. Yeah, until lunchtime today.
Give Adam my love.
I will.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And look, Rose, what have you got? Teresa's exhibition is there till about the middle of May, I think, is it?
Yeah.
Mm. And then can you give us a few little indications of what might be coming up late, you know, through the year? You don't have to give it all away, but just some of the programs or things that you're busy with at the moment or getting ready.
We're looking at, we've got the collaboration exhibition coming up in June. That one is where we work with Yarrawarra down the coast and Coo.
Oh, right.
and they send out work from the coastal areas up here to the tablelands, and we do the same. We vice versa, we send tablelands work down there to those guys.
Yeah.
Oh no, it's just that that's a really good opportunity for artists to mingle and mix and understand each other's art and look at it and be able to talk about it in a way that makes them all feel really cool.
As I've been learning, that sort of traffic, if you like, or those that exchange between the coast and the tablelands and out west, I mean, Teresa's originally from further out west, beyond the mountain range, that exchange reflects an ancient tradition of gathering here on the tablelands and people coming and going and exchanging ideas and perhaps, trading with each other, and but also swapping family members and things like that. So what you're doing is not that different to what's always been done in terms of exchanging ideas and culture between the coast and the high country. Am I right there?
Yes, you're right in saying that. It leaves also the opportunity for the artists to work together.
Yeah.
It gives us the opportunity to not only relate work from the tablelands or the plains. We try very much with the plains and the coast, mid-north coast. So we have a wide collection there that of people, of artists, that really benefit greatly from the exchanges that do occur.
Wow. Well, that's amazing. Well, look, I'm going to hopefully have a little conversation with Teresa next week, if we can organise that. But in the meantime, thank you so much for letting our listeners know what's going on. And the opening times for the Keeping Place are pretty liberal, aren't they? They're 10, can you remind me of them?
9 a.m. till 4 p.m. weekdays, Monday to Friday. And on Saturday we're open from 10 till 2.
So you can have a really relaxed time on Saturday morning, as I did last Saturday morning, and and between 9 and 4 every weekday. So look, be there or be square. And Rose, I'm really looking forward to continuing this conversation either with you or with some of the your artists in residence who are doing terrific stuff.
Thank you so much for inviting us to be a part of the program.
Oh, terrific. Thank you so much, Rose. Oh, that's Rose Lovelock from the Aboriginal Keeping Place, just down the road from our station in Kentucky Street in Armidale. So, and of course, the invitation applies to people who don't live in Armidale. And in fact, the last time I was there, there was a big tourist bus, and you might rub shoulders with people from overseas, because the visitation to the Keeping Centre is increasing all the time, and it is of great interest to visitors and tourists from overseas who are looking for an entry point to understand, Aboriginal culture and thinking. And there's so much available there. And, of course, the Keeping Place, part of the Aboriginal Cultural Centre and Keeping Place aspect, is very much about, preserving the culture and exchanging ideas and helping people who aren't Aboriginal to understand what it is like to be within Aboriginal culture and share that and give the joy of that culture, share that with people of all races and identities. So look, really terrific experience. Very quiet on the surface, but a lot of depth there.